Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
You're going to be surprised. It's going to sound a little crazy, but it's going to happen. Is that franchising is going to really have a renaissance, a massive resurgence. Like, you look at what people are passionate about work-wise these days, and it's, I want to own my own business. It's startups. It's entrepreneurship. And it's all these things that, like, people have head trash about that F word, franchising. But when you look at, like, what all their goals are, it aligns with everything.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Hey, Shauna here. One quick reminder before we get in the episode. If you could do me the biggest favor, head to whatever app you're listening to this episode right now in. Leave us 5 stars, a rating, and review. These ratings and reviews, they do really help this show continue to grow and help us continue to attract more and more amazing guests. All right, let's get into the episode. The idea of franchising started way back in the Middle Ages, but it really started to pick up steam in the 1960s with the creation of turnpikes and President Eisenhower's interstate highway system. That's when franchising really had its heyday. But in the last couple of decades, franchising has been looked down on and passed over as an opportunity to build wealth. But the tide is changing, my friend. Our guest, Kenny Rose, CEO and founder of FranShares, created a platform that democratizes franchise investing so it could become accessible to everyone. The beauty is that you no longer need to own a franchise, which could cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Instead, you can invest in franchises and generate passive income for a lot less money. It's an interesting concept for sure, and I'm personally happy that franchising, it's having this renaissance because it's a business model that has worked for so many people, it would be silly to overlook it. In this episode, you'll learn what is franchise investing, what makes a franchise profitable, why you should invest in a franchise right now, and so much more. You're going to want to take notes on this episode. All right, I'll let Kenny take it from here. Let's start talking franchise investing. We did an episode a while back about franchises, and I am really excited to talk about this idea of franchise investing. I read somewhere that you have worked with over 600 franchises in over 100 different industries. This is really fascinating. So I thought just to start us out, I'm really curious about what's so great about franchises in general. Like, why should we care about franchises?
Yeah, you know, I'm the son of an entrepreneur. So growing up, I always wanted to, you know, follow in his footsteps and like build my own business. But, you know, these days, it's really tough to get an idea off the ground. And I mean, it's easy to start anything, but to really build a scalable and reputable business, it is very difficult today. And what franchising really allows you to do is take this like pre-existing model, use your skill sets, and allow you to build a business. You know, most people don't have the idea for the next Facebook, or they can't take a big risk on starting something new that's completely unproven. And so it really gives this people the way to like skip that first 5 or 10 years owning a business and get straight into running the business, which is what they really want to do. It's a lot more goes into it than someone who's never started a business realizes. So it's a great way to know, you know, have some predictability in what's going to happen in running a business yourself.
Yeah, like a plug and play model, right? Of business where you just kind of slot it in. You know, when I used to work as a practicing financial planner, I had a client and he was in his early 70s, but he had owned 4 McDonald's franchises and he bought them like way back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was still providing him this huge amount of wealth from, you know, those franchises that he owned. Of course, it was a lot of work and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot in between the lines there, but that was a long time ago. So I'm curious, can franchises still be profitable?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I will say I've thrown an asterisk on there because it depends on the franchise. It's like,
right.
You know, honestly, it's like asking, are stocks profitable? It's like, well, there's plenty that are, and there are a ton that are not at all. And there's actually more franchise brands out there than there are stocks on the NASDAQ. So the comparison's very doable there. And only about 15% of those brands ever hit 100 or more locations. So to say like a sweeping statement, is franchising profitable? No. But is franchising, like, can franchising be profitable? Absolutely. You just have to make sure you're in the right system with the right operators in the right market. Like those are the big three that are going to allow you to be successful.
So what makes a franchise like break out of that mold where there are more than like 10 locations? Is there like a formula for success, or like are there franchises where you've seen them do really well and like create a model for success?
Yeah, I mean, there's no like absolute blueprint, or else there'd be a lot more. there's not plenty enough franchises, but I think everyone would be trying to go after that same little model there. But you know, an example of one I've seen done extremely well recently was one that we actually became a part of. You know, I always love telling people how wide-ranging the franchise industry is, because they always go straight to think about McDonald's or Subway or Taco Bell.
Right, of course.
And you know, I spent a decade in the franchise brokerage side of things, and I'd learn all about these different industries and brands within them. And so one of them that we invested in is a brand called Smash My Trash. And so I want to show people really on the far end, they franchise everything. And it's a really unique business where, you know, anything that's in the commercial space, whether it's construction, manufacturing, distribution, they always have those giant open top dumpsters out back. And it costs a lot of money to haul that off to the dump every time. So this franchise, Smash My Trash, does exactly what the name implies. They drive this giant rig up with a 2-ton steel drum, compress and grind everything down, and smash trash and keep filling it back up, and it's less trips to the dump, saves you money. Super simple business. But they sold like 500 locations in their first like 4 or 5 years in operation.
Wow.
Like absolute rocket ship. And so, you know, if I could pinpoint what closely makes brands really explode, you know, it's a combination of like being in a unique space. Now, not usually first to market. Franchising is often not like creating industries, but they're consolidating industries. And then you're also looking for something that's had like a really good beginning success. People are looking at those original locations and seeing how well they performed. So if you don't have well-performing franchises, especially starting off, it's really hard to gain that traction. And then another thing like most people don't know about the franchise world is there's a large brokerage side to it. And so that's where I spent the last decade, was as a franchise broker. So it's kind of like being like a realtor or an investment advisor,
okay,
but for the world of franchise. Like if you said one day to yourself, like, hey, I want to open a franchise. You don't know that much about franchising. Most people don't. And so we'd help to like educate on how franchising is done and then work with like, hey, based on your skill set, your budget and your location and your goals, these are the brands that make the most sense for you. And so there's a couple different broker networks out there. And so good brands, you know, if they've really proven it, they can go to these broker networks and have people bring them qualified franchisee candidates. And so no one size fits all way.
Interesting. So
yeah, there's a lot to it.
You know, like how much money on average, I mean, I know this is wide ranging, but like how much on average do you need if you wanted to invest in like actually owning a franchise?
Yeah. Like you said, wide range. There's a lot of like service-based ones where if you're a great salesperson, I mean, there's still going to be 100 to 200,000. Average retail place is going to cost somewhere around $1 million. You know, a big one like a McDonald's or a Taco Bell could be $1.5 million+. But that's actually also the wrong answer, because now you can own a franchise for as little as $500. And that's what we did with franchise, because most people don't have 6 or 7 figures of cash laying around. And where we realize there's a big problem. Or say not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Everybody listening can't see what I see right now. We're recording this and I'm assuming you're in your office or whatever it might be. And behind you, there's like a Domino's like hat logo. I see a book about French fries. So like I could tell you are deeply immersed in the world of all things franchise, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I've spent a decade plus getting myself prepared for this business, and you actually can't see, I can move it over. We got a wait list of 42,000 and change for the company, so it's like always that thing that like it actually flips lives. So whenever someone signs up, I get a little tick, and that's my extra kick, keep going. It's like, hey, another person is excited, keep building.
All right, so we talked a little bit about franchises, but you know, we're here to really dive into this idea of franchise investing. So different than you actually owning outright the franchise. So why would somebody decide to invest in franchises this way versus just going out and, you know, buying a franchise?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll start that off by saying this is eventually going to be the only way people want to invest in franchises or own a franchise.
Really? You think so?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, there's a couple parts to it. You know, for one, you said buy a franchise. So if you're looking at like, hey, maybe I want to do an existing business, that was like the most common question I got in the brokerage side. And I'd always tell them the same thing. Hey, if it's a good business, a family member, a friend, a customer, or another franchisee is going to buy it before it ever hits the open market. So if you see a franchise on like a biz buy sell, 20 to 50 people passed on that business already. And so there's a lot of things that need to work out. But then on the other side, if you're like, hey, I'm going to go start a new location of something, you know, again, first you have that problem of I don't have 6 or 7 figures of cash laying around. But then it's, even if you did, well, that business that got you there to get you 6 or 7 figures of cash, you probably want to keep doing that and not go off and do something on the side. And,
right,
you know, a lot of people try running franchises on the side, but really it's, you know, you to have the best possible operations, you need an owner operator that's in the business every day. And then, you know, finally, it's like, hey, maybe you do have the right capital requirements and you are ready for a change of pace. But then it's like, maybe you were the CFO of a company and you're trying to then go run a McDonald's. Totally different skills. I mean, there's transferable skill sets, but they don't want to go sit in a McDonald's every day. They're instead going to go try and hire a manager and all this. And so we thought, well, why let's cut out the middleman. You know, like there's a separation between where money is and where the operators are. And so we want to grab the money from people who are, you know, those former CFOs or day traders, and they're looking to diversify, and then invest that into owner operators who are there every day, where your investment can be a lot safer than just, well, hopefully this minimum wage manager I put in place does well.
You started FranShares to allow individuals to invest in what you call diversified portfolios of franchises. You said again, for as little as like $500. So the skeptic in me, Kenny, though, says like $500, can you really get, you know, decent return by investing only $500? Like, is that actually feasible? So like, talk to the skeptic in me. What can you expect with like a smaller investment like that?
Well, I mean, really, you're getting your pro rata share of the portfolio, just like someone who's investing $100,000 would. So, I mean, it's, you know, the checks will look smaller, but it's what happens when you invest less. But like when you're looking at like stable returns, diversification, I mean, it's got all the things that you're looking for there. And we just wanted to be able to open it up to more people. So, you know, maybe getting like 20 to 50 bucks a quarter doesn't sound great, but it's also like, you know, when you add that up over time and you're also comparing it to like, what else can I invest in for 500 bucks? We really wanted to open it up. I mean, for two reasons, open it up for everyone, not just to like provide accessibility, but it also makes what we do work even better. You know, we prioritize investors who live in the local areas for what we're opening. And, you know, you think about it, it's like people who invest in Apple stock usually have an iPhone. People who have an iPhone generally have Apple stock. And when you pair this with like the Reddit versus Wall Street pandemonium of like, hey, when I have ownership, I can make change. It's the same premise here, because if you invest, like I'm in Chicago, and if like I invest in somewhere that's, you know, I'm going to put $500 into this portfolio. Well, not only am I earning income on it, but I'm actually able to go support the business that I invested in. So like where I get my haircut, where I go work out, where I go eat at, get my oil changed. Those are all places that I own a piece of too. And so we see it as like, it's an investment that's actually tangible and also just really gets people behind it because they see it. You know, it's not Bitcoin that's going on some servers and hope you don't lose your password or the hard drive or something. It's like, there is that Supercuts down the street and they are cutting hair today and they'll be cutting hair tomorrow.
So like, what type of returns can you expect, or like what's the average, I guess I would say, you know, when you're investing in a franchise model like this?
You know, the SEC would string me up if I like said, hey, here's what you're gonna do. I will say that like our target returns, it's gonna vary based on the portfolio, but like we try and aim for 15 to 20%, and that's a combination of income and equity growth. And I say that as a general statement, not for any open offerings for any SEC friends listening.
Asterisk.
Yeah. Trust me, I have become a master in SEC law over the last couple of years. So I choose my words very carefully, and I'd rather, you know, I like to underpromise and overdeliver too. So, but yeah, honestly, it's healthy returns. A good thing. Like you said, your friend that owns some McDonald's, there's a reason that he owned them for so long.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement.
Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
And okay, so how do you guys then decide? I mean, obviously you have this like mass, you know, skill set and knowledge and understanding of the franchise world, but how do you decide what franchises you guys are going to actually invest in or put in their portfolios?
Yeah. So we start from a top-down approach and look at different industries out there. Before we even go into like a brand or a specific location, it's like, hey, does this industry make sense? Like, we're not going to get into retail clothing because Amazon's coming for that. But Amazon's right. Not trying to change your oil or smash your trash.
Not yet, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think anyone's trusting machines to cut your hair anytime soon. I've seen a little movie that was.
They like remember the Flowbee? Yeah, from years
ago. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So, no, and plus it's one of those things like fashion and yeah. But, sorry, what was your question? I got stuck on the Flowbee.
Yes, I know, me too, right? How do you guys decide? What are your criteria to decide?
Yeah. So looking at the top down from the industry, and we want to see what industries are recession resistant, technology resistant, pandemic resistant. We want to then look at, you know, is this industry growing over time or has it been contracting? And so when we see these early indicators like, hey, we've got an industry that is popular and it is growing and we can go earn in there, then we're going to look into, okay, what franchise brands are in this space? And so what's really cool about franchising is that franchising is regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. And so as part of that regulation, every franchise has to submit what's called a franchise disclosure document. And so this is everything from who the leadership team is, company financials, what it costs to start a location broken down by line item, how much they make, is there litigation against the franchise? So we can go through and analyze all the different brands in this space and see who's performing the best, who's got great support. We talk to franchisees and see, like, are they happy in the system? Are they growing? Do they get support? Right. And then once we find those brands that we like, you know, we're researching not only like which ones are going to be the best, but where's their availability in good markets. And then finally, the operators that we'd be investing in. And we do it in two different ways. One is that, operators who are, maybe they've got a handful of locations already, they're looking to scale, but a bank's looking at them like they own five houses. And they're like, why would I give you a loan for a sixth? You've got debt on this. But when you look at them as franchisees, it's like, oh, well, you've done the hardest part, which is building that foundation. Like, that's when they're ready to scale. And that's when banks pull their money back on them. And so from there, you know, we're looking to invest in these operators that are already doing very well. Or what we're also going to be doing is starting new locations with people who are really underrepresented in the franchise community. So like minorities, disabled veterans, people who like, former athletes, people who are there to work and can follow systems and process, but they don't have $1 million in the bank. Mm-hmm. Like if you're looking to do a coffee franchise, I'm looking for someone who was a GM at a Starbucks for 10 years and thinking that person would be a dream franchisee. But does that person have $1 million? Not a chance. And so again, you have the separation between where the money comes from and who the operators are. And so franchise sits in the middle and we say, okay, this industry is doing fantastic and is going to continue to grow. This brand is the best one within it. And then either this operator is already a killer and looking to scale, or we can find operators that have, usually they've applied to be franchisees too. And the franchise is going to sit there like, I love you. You are a great person. Your background is incredible, but your financials don't line up with what we're looking for. And so really the franchisors are telling us like, hey, these are the ones that we need to fund because these people are going to go crush it. And so every franchise brand that we've talked to is like, love this because it's something they've been needing. Which just, there's been a glaring hole for a while.
So you talked about like some of the, you know, you're looking for recession proof, pandemic resistant, you know, all of these different variables. Like what are some of the industries right now that are pretty hot?
Like I said, I love this trash one. So, I mean, trash doesn't go away. Hot industries is a relative term because, it's always what's right for you. Like we're trying to look for the right systems. And so like, you know, hair care and automotive, it always does well. It's one of those, and especially when you look at like recession type stuff, like people don't go out and buy new cars. They drive the old ones and make sure they last longer. And so they're getting them fixed, making sure they look better. Things like hair care, you know, if people start, you know, economy starts going down, people are looking for jobs. Well, especially most franchising and hair care is budget cutters. And so you see a lot of people do like the step down.
Right.
When okay. recessions occur, you know, they're not going to fine dining. They're going to go to quick service restaurants and takeout instead. And so we want to find things that are, you know, really there for like the budget minded shopper. And then, you know, also we want to look at things that are really coming up fast. Like we're keeping eyes on future markets, like, the medical marijuana industry, like there are franchises in there, but until it's federally legal, you can't really touch it. So we're looking ahead for things like that. And, you know, honestly, things like med spas, just things that are about people's health and wellness always do well. So there's a lot of hot industries out there. And like I said, it covers, actually, I think you said it for me, franchising covers hundreds of industries. So it's a little bit of everything out there for us.
So I think like, you know, typically when you think about franchises, most of us tend to think of restaurants, some sort of food chain. That's like what we correlate to franchises. But
yeah.
What I'm hearing is those are not necessarily always the best. Like there's these kind of new interesting sectors that are kind of popping up that are really interesting to think about. So, okay, well, let's say we're listening and this sounds interesting. You know, what's your advice about like how and when we should think about adding like a franchise investment on top of, you know, just our normal investing, if we're investing in our 401k or our IRA or something like that, what sort of piece does, you know, franchise investing kind of take up of you know, the whole pie of investing?
Yeah. Well, so I forgot to mention, I'm actually a former financial advisor myself. I was a Merrill Lynch man. And so it feels like a lifetime ago. And, you know, the two things I would say to answer that, one is education is the most important. You know, don't ever invest in something you don't fully understand. And so, you know, we're big on education. So it's like, go check out the website, download a white paper, an investor guide, read some materials, like start getting comfortable with it before you ever do anything like that. But then the other side is when you talked about the pie, you know, most financial advisors will say you should have like 20% in your portfolio into alternative investments. A lot of them will say more. And I would be one greedy individual if I said we're the whole 20%. And so, you know, I think you need to diversify even that alternative slice between a couple different asset classes. You know, so I'd say like we should be 10% of that at least. So, you know, I think generally you're looking at like a 2% allocation is like a good sweet spot that I tell people is like a good target too. But also, this is not financial advice. This is just a founder's spiel.
We're just educating. This is education, right? So, okay, we talked about the good sides of a franchise. You know, what are some of the risks investing in franchises? Like, what are the things that could potentially go wrong?
Yeah, so franchisor is one of the top ones. You know, you have to make sure that, like, they are a company that is investing in growth. You know, you look at a company like Taco Bell, for example, and, like, you see the new, like, self-order kiosks, and, like, they're coming out with new types of stores. Like, those are brands that are reinvesting into themselves and constantly, you know, taking a look at what they are and what they can be. If it's a brand that's, like, kind of stuck in the mud or has terrible leadership, the problems that are existing are only going to get worse. Another problem is, like, looking at, like, who the actual operator is. It's one of the most common questions we get because, you know, they want to know who's in that store every day. And that's why, also, I said there's a problem between what I call the check writers and the owner operators is that, you know, you can write a check to get it going, but someone needs to run that store. And I love it. People try and save money right off the bat. They're like, oh, man, I can find like a slightly different location that's a little cheaper. And, oh, I can find this GM that's going to save me 30 grand. And, oh, I can shave off 10 grand on grand opening marketing expenses. And so they think they're the savviest person ever and just save 60 grand. But really, they just pissed away $1 million because they were cutting corners. And so there's risk by not following the system. And the system's usually going to say, spend this much on grand opening, do this type of location, be an owner operator. And so when you start to stray from that, and the more you continue to stray, the more you're putting your investment at risk. And so that's why, like, what we do to try and combat these risks is that we take, you know, top down approach and looking like, okay, what's this total project going to cost? Let's go raise for it to have this solid foundation. Like, we want to be able to give a salary to a good operator and have them earn into more equity. We want to get, depending on the business, a great location if they need that foot traffic. And, you know, also I'm honestly like a go market more person, so they can suggest, here's what you should do for grand opening. I'm going to suggest A, we do more, and B, we can cross market with ourselves and the franchises. So it's like, hey, you know, would you like to invest in a location in your community? Because people don't get to see that. You know, if anything, real estate's the closest thing, but most of them aren't always investing into real estate in their community. They're doing a commercial building halfway across the country. And that's just not really tangible for them. It's good to have in your portfolio, but it's nice to have some things you can actually understand and really start creating jobs in your own community there.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30,
washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I really love when we have people on the show that are like super passionate about what they do, because it always curates just a fun conversation. You are clearly passionate about all things franchising. Like, how did you decide to make this your life's work?
You know, it's funny you ask, because I, like, 4 or 5 years growing up, I lived in a town that didn't allow franchises there.
Really? They eventually got Starbucks. I didn't even know that existed.
Oh yeah. It was like a ski town in Colorado. And so they're just like, we are not developing this. We're not turning it into a big behemoth. And, you know, they eventually got a Starbucks. People like lost their minds. And so, you know, how I got into it was I was doing the advisory stuff at Merrill Lynch, and I was doing it in San Francisco. And so a couple of things happened. One, I started to see robo-advisors coming, and I was a hair worried about what that meant for my career prospects there. But then also I was, you know, the culture around there was just very hostile, honestly, really bro-y. And I just like, I didn't really enjoy it. And so it was a family friend. He was the CEO of a company that coaches CEOs. And yeah, he tried talking me into a job before. And I was like, hey, I'm going the Merrill route. This time I say, okay, I'm open. What are you thinking? And he threw me an absolute curveball. He's, what do you know about franchising? And I'm like, yeah, same thing as McDonald's, Subway, Taco right. Bell, like what? And then I was surprised to find out his company was a franchise. I'm like, wait, coaching CEOs is a franchise? And he tells me they franchise everything. So to me, I like being big fish in a little pond, even though it's like a $1 trillion pond. But, you know, I saw it as like, wow, this is a big industry most people don't really know that much about or aren't educated in. And so I was like very curious by it. And he introduced me to the franchise brokerage space. And it was funny because speaking of franchises for everything, that is a franchise. There is a franchise for selling franchises.
Really? This is like opening one of those, like, you know, little dolls where there's like a doll and a doll.
Yeah.
Doll.
Yeah. It's a franchise than a franchise than a franchise. Right. And you know, it was funny because I really became exactly what I talked about now about like the, what I love about franchising is that I had this great, like, high ticket net worth sales skill set. I was very passionate about entrepreneurship and all these things. And so franchise brokerage was just like a perfect it just fit my skills and desires perfectly. And then I was part of a franchise, so I got to learn all these things about it. But I was working for I was an independent contractor for a franchisee. And so after a few 4 or 5 years, and actually a co-author on that book with French fries behind me, nice. But I don't get royalties on it. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm helping you more than you're helping me. It's time to go spread my wings and start my own brokerage after that. So it was just honestly, I feel like you got to keep your eyes open because you don't know what's out there. And this is a perfect example of it.
Anyone who writes a book about French fries is definitely a friend of mine.
Actually, you know, technically the title's more than just French fries because you're on the show.
Well, I see big French fries, so right.
Yeah, as long as I'm making you hunger on lunchtime by looking at it.
Absolutely. So what do you think the future of franchising looks like? You talked a little bit earlier that it's going to probably look a little bit different than it has in the past. Like, where are we going?
you know, you're going to be surprised. This is going to sound a little crazy, but it's going to happen, is that franchising is going to really have a renaissance, a massive resurgence. Like, you look at what people are passionate about work-wise these days, and it's, I want to own my own business. It's startups. It's entrepreneurship. And it's all these things that, like, people have head trash about that F word, franchising. But when you look at, like, what all their goals are, it aligns with everything, especially, I don't even want to say older, but, like, the over 30 crowd, where, like, they might have kids and they've, like, had a good career and they're looking at, like, hey, you know, I'd really love to own my own business, but I can't take a chance. I got a wife and kids and bills to pay. And, you know, at this point, it'll be like they've been investing in franchises, and it's like, hey, you've been making money off franchises. Like, why not go have your own? And so when people can get over the F word and they see, like, this is a way to own my own business and figure out all these things that would take me 5 or 10 years, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's just that people associate it with, I'm behind the counter at a place with a ball pit. And so, you know, as we continue to grow and people get more exposure to franchising and understand it more, it's just, it's going to explode. You know, we're in the business of funding franchisees. And so as people, like, earn money from investing in it and they realize, like, oh, I can go be my own boss, and they know that we're there to support them, it's huge. And, you know, a big part of, like, what we're doing to grow, besides just investing in franchises, is, you know, looking at how we support them. And so on one level, we're providing all these services for franchises, like how you do permitting process, real estate construction management, all these things that, like, you know, it's not what they do generally. They want to work in the business, but there's all these things that go into it before and even during, like, accounting and finance that they may not be strong with. We're providing services for all these franchisees to help them grow. But even a step beyond that is for the employees within those franchises. You know, if you own 1, 2, or 3 locations, and even more, it's hard to get insurance for them. It's hard to provide retirement benefits. And the franchisor cannot do this on because then that kind of creates a gray area of if they're a franchisee or not. So we're able to provide these services. And besides those things, we want to show a ladder where you can start working a minimum wage job and see in 5 years how you can own a location. Because frankly, if you've been working in somewhere for 5 years, generally you might have a good idea on how to run that business. And so when you create, like, opportunity for everyone, both to invest and to be your own boss, I see franchising as just, it's going to have this massive appeal to everyone once they understand it.
Why do you think it's gotten such a bad rap? Like, where did that come from?
I would say it's two things. The number one is lack of education. You don't learn this stuff in colleges. I mean, there's, like, 2 or 3 that have certificate programs, but in general, you don't learn about franchises in school. And so you get what you are introduced to. And people are generally introduced to franchising through fast food. Why? Fast food's the most competitive industry out there. And so they need to market everywhere. So people put franchising synonymous with drive-thrus and fast food. And they say, I don't want to go work behind a counter. And versus other people who are used to getting their hands dirty, they're like, own a business here, work by, like, yeah, let's go. And I think it's really just a lack of education. And that once they start understanding what franchises are and how they work, and that they just cover all these different industries, it's going to change everything.
You also talked earlier about this idea of alternative investing, and it's certainly on the rise. And I think it's really exciting. You know, we can invest in franchises, collectibles, artwork, you know, there's wine. I mean, there's lots of different things that people can invest in. But I have found that often people correlate alternative investing with risky investing. Like, it couldn't possibly be profitable or be good for me. Like, what do you say to those people that are just, like, not sure about, you know, alternative investments?
You know, it's something I already said. It's education is the key. And you know, honestly, I almost feel like the name throws people in that direction too, because then when you ask those same people about investing in real estate, they're like, oh yeah, it's always there. Same thing with gold. They're like, it's one of the things people are stuffing under their mattresses. And those two are alternative investments. It's just that they can get very alternative. And I think that's where it is. And so, you know, it's about educating on, like, alternative investing as a whole, the specific investments you're looking at, and just doing your due diligence on it. I find people make poor mistakes when they don't. And sorry for the crypto investors in the crowd, but, you know, that was a big problem there. It's like, most people could not explain how it actually worked, but we're throwing money at it.
And so when you look at that, it's like, yeah, any investing can be stupid when you do it that way and be risky. And so, you know, it's really about just like learning about it, getting educated, and seeing if it's a good fit for you. Because I'm not saying it's right for everyone. Like, it could be terrible for you. Just like everyone has their own investment preferences. And so, you know, that's why I say go learn something.
All right. So we've learned a lot. We've talked about franchising and franchising investing. So I'm curious, you know, as we kind of wrap up here, what are like a couple of things you want people to remember about, even if this was like a brand new concept to them, about investing in franchises?
Yeah. Let's see. The first thing is, I'd love for you to go to the next person you see and ask them to name you three franchises. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you 3 fast food ones. And that right away is going to speak to the lack of education out there. And it's like, hey, maybe you didn't know everything you thought you did. Or you just ask yourself, where did you learn about franchising? And most people are not going to have a clue. They're like, I just do, which is a pretty funny thing to say when it comes to like any type of investing. And, you know, I also say that like things are changing constantly, but you also want to like partner it with things that are steady. And so I think that's where like franchise investing is a great middle ground, is that like it's something that's now available to people, yet it's something that's not crazy new or irrational. It's like there's a lot of history there. And so it's not the sexiest investment, I'll be the first one to tell you, but it is predictable and it is tangible. And I think those are things that people like today in a very crazy world out there.
I just genuinely loved this conversation. And it's very clear that Kenny feels so passionate about franchising. I'm just personally really interested in seeing what the future holds for franchising and franchise investing. There are all of these really fascinating ways to earn passive income these days, and it makes me super excited how passive income could change your life and help you achieve your money goals. As with everything, of course, you want to make sure you do your research, ask questions, and get knowledgeable before you invest in anything. To learn more, you can go to franshares.com and you can download an investment guide there. You can also add Kenny on LinkedIn and mention that you heard him on this podcast. He loves to connect with everyone and answer any of your questions personally. If you enjoyed this episode, please head on over to whatever podcast player you're listening to now. Leave us a rating and review 5 stars for the show. It really helps us continue to grow the show. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guests, as well as the sponsors who make this show possible. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca-neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca-neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.